Let's go on to the lesson then. We still have time, I think, to cover this third in four lessons about the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and that they yielded to edification as being God, what God was doing at that time. Wasn't doing the gifts anymore, that it ceased. Even though there was a fleshly adherence to them or sticking with them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. Now, if you want to just take that out of context and run with it, you'll have the wrong idea. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So you can see there's a preview. He's telling them what he's heading into. Let's start edifying more. Be concerned about your edification and your neighbor's edification. So before we get into the comparisons that Paul makes there in 1 Corinthians 14:5, we want to look at some of Paul's other mentions of edification in other places. And we'll see the importance of edification overall, not just in Paul's, not just in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, or in this chapter, as he's making his point, but in our Christian lives, in God's plan, it's important. Paul's starting to show the Corinthians the direction that God is moving them. Consider these two verses, which are self-explanatory about Paul's understanding for the need of edification, building up others and yourselves in the Word. Paul emphasized the attitude we should have. We should receive the knowledge of the truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, knowledge, he's talking to those that had received the word, the gospel of God. They all had heard the gospel of Christ, too. We read that in Acts 18, 1 to 6. But he goes on, we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It's kind of the opposite direction, isn't it? Knowledge, depending on your attitude toward knowledge and what it's for. And that shows the superiority, though, of edifying others and yourself over just obtaining knowledge. Remember the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden? Not a good thing. Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So there's another emphasis Paul is making on edifying. Excuse me just a minute. So let these verses from Paul demonstrate to us the vital need for, well, the superiority of edifying the church over knowledge, learning facts, speaking things, speaking in tongues even. That was the context back then. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5 that we started with, we need to see several things. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And we need to see Paul's comparison between the body of Christ tongues and body of Christ prophecy. Also, we need to see the change in the tense of the action verbs that Paul used. Look at the past tense of the verbs spake and prophesied. I would that you all spake in the past with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Look at the present tense of prophesieth. He that prophesieth, greater is he that prophesieth, present tense, and speaketh, in the second part of the verse there, where is the speaketh? than he that speaketh with tongues. So at the present time that he was writing to them, speaking in tongues was not the thing to do for, you know, to be in God's will. So Paul made a comment about the way things were in the past and then about the way things were at the time of his writing. And also we need to see Paul's further emphasizing of the importance to switch from tongues to edifying. That's what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Edifying. Now, at this point, in 1 Corinthians written in Acts 19, there was still scripture being revealed. A lot of scripture was revealed after the end of Acts. And so when the prophets, remember, they had a vital part in receiving the newly inspired scripture that was being revealed to Paul. Paul would get the scripture, and the prophets were given the ability to know all the mysteries, all mysteries and all knowledge, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:2. And so they were, their duty, their job description was to acknowledge that the things Paul wrote were the commands of God. So that was going on at that time. That was their prophesying. But the scripture is complete now. All scripture is given. So the prophesying now is not acknowledging that this newly inspired scripture is truly from God. It's taking the Bible and professing what was in it. So prophesying and professing are different, because prophesying was when the scripture was still being given, and professing takes its place now, now that we have the completed Bible. So do you see the comparison there? Rather that you prophesied, and greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Why? That the church may receive edifying. That's the point. A preview of 1 Corinthians 14:21 shows us that the function of the body of Christ, tongues, was to translate and transmit what God was speaking to this people, the Jews. And we know that because of 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. The last part of 1 Corinthians 14:5 shows us that almost routinely those in Corinth were claiming to be speaking with tongues, when actually there was no understanding of what they were saying. It was no longer God speaking to the Jews, the unsaved Jews, or unbelieving Jews, I should say. 1 Corinthians 14:6, going on to the next verse. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Well, in other words, how can I edify you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, something revealed and understandable, revelation, or by knowledge, something knowable and understandable, knowledge, or by prophesying, something edifying, exhortive, or comforting, that's understandable, prophesying, or by doctrine, something taught for clarity and understandable again, doctrine. 1 Corinthians 14:7, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? So, you can imagine something being played out of tune or dissonant notes. It doesn't ring true, you know. Verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. That's like saying your prayers don't get past the ceiling. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air, he says. This is verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 14. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. In other words, the voice is supposed to signify something, to mean something, to be understandable. If the voice produces mere peeps and mutters, it is not fulfilling its purpose in the body of Christ. Verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. A barbarian. That's a loaded word there. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Well, at the time that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, the term barbarian had a different meaning than at the time he wrote Colossians. In Colossians, barbarian was, whether you're a barbarian or not, it was of no significance. Look at Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians in Acts 9, in the time period of Acts 19, but Paul did not write Colossians until after Christ's all-man sending of Paul, identified in Philippians 4:15, and after Israel was blinded and cast away in Acts 28. By the time Paul wrote Colossians, he had been sent to all people, including the barbarians. That's the difference. But back when Paul had written his earlier epistles, Galatians, that we were reading out of a minute ago, Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, he had not yet been sent to the barbarians with the gospel of salvation. Look at Galatians. We read Colossians 3:11. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. So when he wrote this epistle to the Corinthians, he was still not yet sent to all people, not yet sent to the barbarians. they were still a separate, distinct, unrelated people at that time. So Paul was saying that it would not be God speaking to them. In verse 11, there, 1 Corinthians 14:11, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian to me. The barbarians were not yet included by God in the target audience for the preaching of the gospel of salvation. Then Paul continued, comparing the spiritual gifts with the edifying in charity. Look at verse 12. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, how much? As much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So, do you see those words in there? For as much as? Paul was telling the Corinthians that just as much as you are already zealous of spiritual gifts, to that same degree, seek to excel or go beyond that in your edifying of the church. Paul was making a definite switch from tongues to edifying. Next, Paul started introducing boundaries in their use of tongues. He's not stopping them, but he's showing them the proper way, and proper at that time after the usefulness of tongues had ceased. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, and there's a drawback to that, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Unfruitful understanding is not edifying. It's unfruitful. Going to verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, pray what you believe in and what you understand. I will sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding. And I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, sing what you believe and what you understand. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 16 and 17, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he... Here's an insight into the church times, at those times, while the Apostle Paul was still alive. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandest not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. That's the problem. The new emphasis on edifying was not yet being practiced in Corinth there. And this is the way that new churches are to go, from hearing who Jesus is, to believing that he died for their sins, to meeting together and spreading the word, and then learning to edify each other out of the word. Not being out of the word, but from the word, I should say. 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. And yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Paul was repeating what he had said back in the 13th chapter there. 13, let me get the verse here. We're about to close. 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, that's what he's saying here in chapter 14, verse 20. Be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. Grow up. That's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth, to grow up. And this impresses the fact that that Paul preached that it was God's will for them to switch from tongues to edifying, to concentrate on edifying themselves and one another. Back in 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul was showing that continuing with tongues had become childish. Paul also used the past tense in saying, when I became a man. In other words, a while ago, before now, when I became a man. And that showed that he meant it was childish to continue at that same time, at the time now, his present time, to continue with tongues. But it was adult to grow up and edify one another. So I hope those are good words for us to practice edifying one another with the scripture. And that concludes today's lesson. We hope to finish it up tomorrow with the fourth of four lessons. Any comments, questions to add to this or to correct it or whatever?